FM News Talk 97.1 Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Weekend Report right here on FM News Talk 97.1. The crew finally back together. You having issues over there?
I do. I don't hear you at all.
You don't hear me?
Not in my headphones, but I heard the music.
Katie, do you hear me? That's all that matters.
Okay.
Can you hear?
Let's do it.
The crew is back together, but the technical issues remain. So we have me, I'm Tony Colombo, back in studio. Chris Arps is here, and Katie Bailey is here as well. And it's the first time the three of us have finally been together in the studio in like a month. Because you were gone, then she was gone, then I was gone.
And I was going to tell you, your tan, your cheeks look very ruddy.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's a good thing.
You
can see a little tan.
You have a very deep tan as well, my friend.
I have. It cut the grass yesterday. That's from.
So I'm back, and we finally have the whole crew together, and I didn't come alone. We have a full studio. We have a full show for you today. Coming up in a little bit, of course, we will have Skip Weber in studio with us as he joins us each and every week. We're also going to talk to Jason Nelson. The big Queen tribute show that I am hosting is tonight at the Del Mar Hall. Which is an amazing, amazing venue. So this show is incredible. And if you've never seen a concert at Del Mar Hall, you are doing yourself a disservice because it is a beautiful place. And it was built with acoustics in mind. It's a great place to watch a show. So Jason Nelson's going to join us to talk about that show that's coming up tonight. And my co-host tonight is our friend Lern from KSHE 95, and she's going to join us on the phone when Jason does as well.
KSHE 95.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. But right now, joining us live in studio is Austin Peterson, of course, GOP candidate for Claire McCaskill's Senate seat. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show, Austin. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Tony.
Great to see you. And we also have Mark Mathiesen, state rep, in studio with us as well. Great to see you, Mark. Thanks for coming in.
Tony, it's a pleasure to be here today.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I came with friends.
The studios.
I returned to the show with friends.
Should we tell the audience that the studio is so full that you are actually sitting on my lap right now? Is that too much information?
The studio is so full that Katie and I are going to have to share a mic for the Weekend Review. So so forgive any pause that you may hear.
She's married, folks.
So
that's right.
Freshly, brand new, married. Katie, I haven't even seen you since your wedding. I haven't seen you.
I know. Hi, Tony.
See, we have to share a microphone. Awkward. It's a little bit weird, but I haven't seen Katie since her wedding because when she got back, I was gone. So Austin and Mark are going to stick around for us. We're going to talk to those two a little bit more in depth in the next segment. But right now, we are going to start the show the way we always do with the Week in Review, where we break down all the biggest stories of the week. And Austin and Mark have been nice enough to decide to stay and do that with us. So here we go. Weekend Review. Take it away, Katie Bailey.
So the long-awaited summit between President Trump and Kim Jong-un happened this week. Some people say it was historic. Some people say it was a failure. What do you guys think?
I think it was a little bit of both, depending on your perspective. Of course, it was historic. An American president has never met with a North Korean leader before. If you expected that they were going to sign a nuclear peace deal at that meeting, then it was a failure. But if you look at it in terms of this was a first meeting and maybe this sets the groundwork for future meetings to, you know, keep peace, mm-hmm. to keep the North Koreans from test firing missiles over Japan, then I think it was a success.
That actually was a little bit more than I expected. I didn't expect them to have. I know that obviously there's nothing binding. You know, there's just this piece of paper the two guys sign and basically kick the can down the road. You know, if you're going to look at it cynically, but I did not expect there to be any real discussion of denuclearization yet. I thought there was going to be something like you predicted last week, Chris. You know, let's agree to end the Korean War and let's agree to talk some more. Mm. You know, and yeah. And basically that's it. Maybe they would throw in, you know, something else small in there. But I didn't expect them to sort of already address denuclearization and get Kim to sign something that said we're going to continue to discuss it. Austin, what was your thoughts?
Well, what happened to the anti-war left? Where are the anti-war Democrats? You know, all of a sudden it's like I'm seeing members of Congress that are trying to introduce legislation to stop President Trump from potentially pulling troops out of Korea. I mean, whatever happened to these people? Yeah. It's like it's unbelievable how the level of partisanship has descended that we actually have people now on the left who are like taking the position of the warmongers. And I just happened to love because I saw Ambassador John Bolton, who is the Uber hawk, who had to shake Kim Jong-un's hand.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know President Trump had to really enjoy that, making him do that after the years of saber rattling from the neoconservatives.
I heard that the talks that are continuing with Kim right now before him and the president get back together are between Kim and his team and Mike Pompeo and John Bolton. And I could just I put myself – I visioned this room and somebody – I heard somebody say this on television earlier in the week too. It's really funny. Like I envisioned them sitting there and Mike Pompeo shows a slideshow and it's North Korea with skyscrapers and McDonald's and a booming economy, and he's like, this is what we can do. Yeah. And then it's John Bolton's turn, and he shows like a video of Gaddafi in the streets. You
like
know,
you're like, next, like, if you don't. Yeah.
Here's my presentation. You know, it's like good cop, bad cop.
I crave peace. I think this is a brilliant a bit of diplomacy by the president of the United States. This is how he ran. He ran as a more non-interventionist type of president. He ran as the kind of president who was talking about, you know, pulling troops out of Syria. I know we haven't done that yet, but I mean, that's what the American people want. We want peace. We don't want war. And they called North Korea the land of no good options. And President Trump took that iron and he turned it into gold. He's like an alchemist in some respects.
And I like just action. Yeah, I like that there's movement.
Yes.
There's a president that's doing something. Whether you agree with it or not,
Tony,
at least
let me ask
something.
You a question. Have you ever known Donald Trump to slow play an issue?
That's a great point. Absolutely not. Absolutely.
He's going to start with a handshake, a signed document, and they're just going to keep going until we get this done.
Yeah, I do. I have faith. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think what you're seeing with Bolton and the president is just classic good cop, bad cop.
Mm-hmm.
You see the liberal media has been chastising President Trump for praising Kim with some of his remarks. So, you know, Trump is playing good cop. Bolton is playing good cop. It's standard negotiating tactics.
Negotiation.
Yes.
President Trump said he was willing to host Kim Jong-un at the White House, but some on the left say the president is being way too friendly with the murderous dictator. Are you okay with Kim coming to the White House, and what do you think of the president being so friendly with him?
Well, the president said that inviting Kim to the White House was on the table for a future date when a lot of other things are met. President Kim or Chairman Kim, whatever they call him, should only get an invite to the White House
when there is a
agreement signed that's peace and they have agreed to give up their nuclear weapons and they allow inspectors into the country. That's the only way he should get an invite to
you
the
know,
White House.
I don't understand the criticism that the president has gotten about, you know, saying things like it was an honor to meet Kim Jong-un and saying that, you know, he's a talented leader. What's he supposed to do? You're over there. You know, you're over there. You're trying to negotiate this peace summit. Are you supposed to stick out your hand and then pull it back and go, sorry, I don't shake the hand of big fat liars like that? You're not going to go anywhere with that.
Well, remember how they praised Obama for meeting with the leaders from Cuba? Because we were opening up trade negotiations with Cuba.
Sitting at the baseball game.
Yeah, exactly. And I supported what President Obama doing that because I want peace and trade with the people of Cuba. I'd like free travel with the people of Cuba. Unfortunately, what happens is that this gets bogged down in partisanship rather than what is the principle here. So, you know, I praised President Obama then. It was like the only thing that I agreed with President Obama on. And I'm praising President Trump now. But now people are like, oh, you're a Republican. You're just trying to kiss his butt. No. When somebody does something right, right, praise them. When they mm-hmm. do something wrong, you can disagree with them respectfully, as we should. But North Korea, this is progress. I'd like to see us continue to do this. I agree with you, Chris Arps. We need a denuclearization agreement before we invite mm-hmm. someone like that into mm-hmm. the White House. But mm-hmm. that would be historic. Yeah. And somehow it's like the Democrats are like, oh, I wanted him to nuke the United States so we could be right. I mean, come on. That's the level of insanity that the left has come to in the age of Trump.
I also think it's just part of his negotiating ploy is to flatter the man.
Yeah. Well, that's what you're
saying. I mean, that's,
you have to do that.
But I can see the criticism in a certain light that when Ronald Reagan was meeting with Gorbachev during the Cold War days in Reykjavik and these other places, President Reagan wasn't saying Gorbachev is a great man and is honorable and all that. So I can see where the left may say, hey, this praise is kind of over the top. But if you know Donald Trump and read his books and you know how he negotiates, then you can see what he's doing, in my opinion.
I said this earlier in the week on the Dave Glover show. I didn't like the optics of President Obama bowing to the Saudi king, but I understood that he was on a diplomatic mission and he was, I'm in their country. He's the king. I'm supposed to do. I didn't like the optics of it, but I didn't get all bent out of shape like some others did because I knew what he's doing. He's on a diplomatic mission. He's trying to, he's trying to increase, relations.
I think people were angry that his lack of protocol, that an American president doesn't bow to
the
king.
But I didn't get all crazy. I didn't like it. I didn't like it, but I didn't get all crazy. But I just, I was able, I let it go. And it's kind of, I look at this very similar to that. Mark, what are your thoughts?
Speaking of the bowing down from Obama, nobody liked that.
No.
And he seemed to be very apologetic his entire trip, which made the optics of bowing to that king even worse. But Trump goes over to North Korea. A general salutes him. He returns it back. It's custom. That's what you do to build those relationships.
Yeah. So the IG report on the Hillary Clinton email scandal, this is a big one, was released this week. What is everyone's reactions?
Well, I think it totally delegitimizes the portion of Mueller's investigation doing with Russian collusion. I think the report, when it said that Comey was insubordinate, is grounds that the president can use that this is why I fired him. And whatever he told Lester Holt on a TV interview, hey, he wasn't under oath. He can say, hey, I misspoke. I lied. Here's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Truth now.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think it's very damaging to Comey. I think it opens up more thoughts about the deep state when you see the emails that were released between the FBI agent and his lover. I think because the Russian collusion investigation now is probably delegitimized and moot, you're going to see more of a focus on process crimes, mm-hmm. like what we see with Manafort, prosecuting him for crimes that had nothing to do with President Trump or the administration. Mm-hmm.
Or the investigation, the genesis of the investigation, or
the pressure that you're seeing currently now on his personal lawyer Cohen, where they're trying to probably arrest him and flip him on crimes that the president may or may not have mm-hmm. committed before he was president. So I think that's going to be the focus of the investigation from now on due to the IG report.
Yeah,
Austin, sorry, that was long-winded.
No, you're good. Austin, here's one of the reasons that I hope that you are in the Senate soon, because right after the IG report came out, I don't know if you guys saw Chuck Schumer. He had this prepared, in-the-can speech ready to go. He obviously read nothing. And, some aide of his wrote a speech, and either they didn't read it either, the IG report, or they assumed some things were in there that weren't in there, because he stands up there and he says all of these things that are in direct contradiction with the report. He's saying things like, the report stated, that that James Comey didn't do anything wrong in the way that he released the information. That's exactly not what the IG report said. And I have yet to really see anybody call Chuck Schumer on that sort of stuff. What was your reaction to the report and then also all the spin that you've seen?
Yeah, obviously I can't wait to eat Chuck Schumer's lunch next year and beat him up and take his milk money. But, this is kind of like what the Democrats' new strategy is now, is that we have a policy debate in this country. They're losing the policy debate. Then they lose the election. And after the election is over, they litigate. That's what it is. Character assassination and litigation. And in order to stall the Republicans from being able to push their agenda. Right. We saw that here in Missouri. We've got it here in the president of the United States, because the Democrats they can't win the policy argument. Right. And so then they've got to trump up these charges and engage in these witch hunts and confuse the issue. Well, now we see that this Mueller investigation is bunk. It was a total witch hunt. The president is off the hook. We need to move forward. And, you know, at this point, I think we just need to move on from prosecutions. Like, let Hillary go to the retirement home. Right. Let James Comey, like, write his book on Twitter and hang out at Costco on the weekends. And let's move on, because the people of the United States elected President Trump to get an agenda passed. That's what we need to do.
Mark, almost time for a break. But what was your initial reaction to the IG report?
This reminds me of the Missouri legislative session where the left had no legitimate policy arguments against our agenda. So all we heard was, you guys are just carrying the weight of the governor. Not, we have good policy that will improve Missouri. Mm-hmm. It's just pushing in another direction. And whenever that didn't work, then it was all about the LGBT movement and putting illegal immigrants ahead of Missouri citizens. That's what we got for the entire session from the other side.
Right.
Completely a distraction, completely just talking points that have nothing to do with doing the right thing for Missouri. So when Austin gets in the Senate, he's going to be in charge of making sure the Senate's doing what's right for the country the way we're working for Missouri.
And well, Tony, go ahead. One final word. And the left is using this report to justify Hillary's loss. That's what they're taking out of this report, because they're saying that Comey's insubordination and Comey's mishandling of this and reopening the investigation 11 days before the investigation is why Hillary lost. So that's what they're taking out of the report, and that's what Schumer and the rest of them are going to run with.
Absolutely. Time to take a quick break. We will have more Week in Review coming later in the show, but Austin Peterson, Senate candidate, is going to stick around. State Rep Mark Mattison is going to stick around, and we're going to talk more with those guys coming up next. Keep it right here on the Weekend Report. It's FM News Talk 97.1. I know you're having headphone issues. Can you not hear the quiet storm either?
I can hear the quiet storm, but I can't hear you.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But at least
what's more important, though? Me or the quiet storm.
Duh.
Of course, all the music here on The Week in Report exclusively brought to you by my good friend Perry Woods. The Woods Experience is the soundtrack of The Week in Report every single week. Download his music on Amazon, iTunes, and support local music. I'm a big fan of supporting local music, and Perry's a good friend, and we thank him for letting us use his music every week. I know Chris Arps really enjoys it.
And he's your fishing buddy.
He's my fishing buddy. That's exactly right. Him and I may be out there tomorrow. Father's Day, might be able to sneak out for a little bit and do a little fishing. We should say Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day to
all
the
fathers out there. Tomorrow is Father's Day, and I am very much looking forward to it. So that's Chris Arps. I'm Tony Colombo. Katie Bailey here as well, of course. And we have State Rep Mark Mattison, and we have Senate candidate Austin Peterson joining us for one more segment live in studio. We appreciate that very much, fellas. Austin, wanted to talk to you. I'm glad you're here today, because my new role at the radio station full time is the news anchor throughout the day.
Scoop.
So I'm in with Annie throughout the day, and then obviously still part of the Dave Glover show every afternoon. And I am more in tune now with local news than ever because of this new position. And yesterday, doing my job, I come across a news story about President Donald Trump reiterating his support for Senate candidate Josh Hawley in Missouri over Claire McCaskill. And you and I have talked about this many times. It's that presumptive close that I know frustrates me to no end, because whether it's you or anybody else, I feel like this election is not decided. It's not over. And I hate the fact that we're just saying, you know, that some people, especially on the national scale, are saying, the attorney general is the candidate. I know that you look at it. I look at it as it's something that angers me, and you look at it as an advantage, which I think is super cool. So just talk about that presumptive close and what you're doing to combat it.
Here's the deal. There's a reason why I can beat Claire McCaskill by 16 points if I am the candidate. I outperform Josh Hawley by 9 points. I blow Josh Hawley out of the water compared to Claire McCaskill. Not only would I beat Claire McCaskill by 16 points, but I actually outperform her by 19 points with women. And this is amazing. Get this. If the election was held today, I would get 41 points with young people over Claire McCaskill. 41 wow. points, total blowout. We're always worried about Antifa and Marxists on college campuses. Well, how would you like to see the young people go for the Republican for once? I think somebody needs to put that poll on the president's desk. And we were joking earlier because, you know, when I beat Josh Hawley the day after, that's when Trump's going to tweet, Hawley was weak.
Yeah, exactly.
Austin Peterson is strong.
You know that's going to happen. You know that's the truth.
That's exactly what's going to happen. So I'm not super worried about it. You know, I think probably some of my other competitors may have been worried about it because they're banking on that whole, you know, Trump effect and stuff like that. But what's amazing is that I've stuck by my principles this entire campaign. I haven't kowtowed, I haven't bent the knee, I've stuck to my principles. And then amazingly, the president has come my way. Like recently, last week, he came out in favor of getting the federal government out of the war on drugs when it comes to marijuana, right? Working with Cory Gardner. And whereas like before, that was an anathema to Republicans, well, now all of these people who are like, I support President Trump 100%. I'm like, all right, well, let's see you eat crow. Let's see you change your position right on this, Republicans. I'd like to see that happen. And then he had a master stroke at the G7 summit. He came out and said, I'll drop all our barriers to trade, if you will. And all of our allies who were calling him a protectionist were shown for the hypocrites that they are. But there's a reason why my campaign is picking up steam here in Missouri, why we're getting attacked more, right? Why you're seeing this kind of stuff. And the president tweeting, I've never seen so much support for me on Twitter after that happens. Hundreds and thousands of people were like, no, Mr. President, no, I support you, Mr. President, but no. And there's a reason why Mark Mathiesen is here today to talk about what's happening here on the local level, because he's endorsed.
So State Rep Mark Mathiesen, thank you again for joining us in studio today. Another thing that I've read recently and heard rumblings of is that you're getting a little pushback from some people on your side in Jeff City for your endorsement of Austin Peterson. What's that been like for you?
Well, we all know that last year the Republican Party came out and said, Josh Hawley's our candidate. You have no other options. Right. Well, good thing conservatives are free thinkers and can decide for themselves who's the best candidate is. But one of the biggest pushbacks is my Christian friends going, hey, can you really stand behind somebody who's not a Christian? But this gentleman right here, Austin Peterson, will do more to protect my religious liberty than any other candidate. And that is important to me. Yeah. A pro-life, liberty-loving candidate who will protect my rights.
See, this is the good guy. We got him on board. So we got board.
What do you say to people that make the argument that it's not so much they're worried about Austin protecting their values, is because he doesn't necessarily share their Christian values? They may not feel that they know him, that they feel that he'll protect their values, but he doesn't share their values. They say so. They don't know him.
But what they need to know is that he will respect their values and fight for their right to be who they are.
See, Chris, now this is something we've batted around in the campaign quite a bit. It's not something we talk about a whole lot. But I mean, you know, of course, would you vote for someone who had a different Christian faith? You know, people attacked Mitt Romney, right, for being a Mormon, for example, right? Mm-hmm. That's an American religion right there. And I would protect his rights just like everyone else. But if anything, like, I do value the teachings of Jesus, and I was raised in the church, and I believe in these moral teachings and principles. But here's the thing. The most important thing about this question is am I honest? Honest? Because in the incentive in a primary would be to lie. And I knew that I could lose some support by being honest about that. When people ask you about a moral compass, well, I'm displaying a moral compass by being honest with you. And I think that that's important. We don't need to send another lying politician. You know, Claire McCaskill's a Christian, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I thought of you, Austin, because you're doing the. Are you still doing the bus tour? Is that
yeah,
still?
I'm
happening?
Actually riding around in my bus.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's right. All,
the
I
bus
was going
to
get to that.
Right outside. Yeah. Yeah, there's no private plane waiting for me.
So initially, her campaign disputed that she wasn't in the private plane and she was on the bus the whole time. And then she came out and said, "Okay, no, that's not exactly accurate. I was on the plane for part of the time." I don't want to necessarily get into that issue. What I want to know from you is this is why when we had callers call in to the station throughout this week supporting Claire, saying who cares if she was on a jet or if she was on a bus, it doesn't matter as long as she's going around and meeting people. My point is, one, that's fine. You can take your private jet anywhere you want, but don't tell me that you're going to be on the bus.
Right.
It
was a veteran's
tour. It's a lie
tour.
Just to lie.
I mean, she's got a history of lies. She lied about meeting the Russian ambassador, right? And, you know, she's done so much negative for the state of Missouri. It's not even funny. I could list it off. You know, that she voted against the tax cuts. I was just at CNM Machining in Webb City the other day, and they said that the Trump tax cuts are helping them to expand their business by an order of magnitude. You know, she's basically the Hillary Clinton of Missouri, but what don't appreciate is the lies. Somebody tweeted at me the other day. They said there's three types of campaigns being run in Missouri: Austin Peterson on the ground, Claire McCaskill in the air, and Josh Hawley in a cave somewhere.
Right. Yeah.
Because he's not going to come out and answer your questions.
Yeah,
you know, he's got a script that's being given to him from down above. He's the golden boy who's mailing it in. He's Mitch McConnell's pick. He's weak. He's weak on the Second Amendment. He's not campaigning. He thinks it should be given to him. He's entitled. He's lazy. If you like your attorney general, you can keep him.
Can I throw in a personal anecdote regarding the campaign bus and a plane?
Yeah.
Do it, Dad.
When I was on the Cruz campaign, we did a 2-week bus tour in Iowa, and we did a 1-week bus tour in South Carolina. Senator Cruz rode the bus about 80% of the time, and about 20% of the time, he took a plane. And the reason that he did that is because they tried to encompass so many stops into this bus tour that sometimes if you were at a stop, it made more sense for the candidate to fly to the next stop, have the bus meet him there, and then the bus will ride together to the next stop, and that gets them a lot of stops in. So it's a good thing to call Claire out on it. I don't know how much time she spent on the bus. She didn't spend on the bus, but as a political campaign operative,
we definitely
know, that most of these, and Austin
went.
Probably does, that most of these candidates don't spend 100% of the time on the bus.
I spend 100% of the time on the bus.
You are one of the few. Most of them
the
do
people.
Not spend 100% of the time on the bus.
I've showered at truck stops during this campaign.
But my thing is I don't care about that.
Right.
I don't care if she wants to take her plane around. That doesn't bother me. What bothers me is the... Don't tell me that you're going to be on the bus because you want to be on the ground going to all these places. Just be
honest.
But
that's what we did on the presidential tours. We toured around South Carolina, Iowa, and we had a visit all...
Well, at least be on the bus 80% of the time.
We had like 25 county bus tours, and we did hit all 25 counties, but... Kennedy Cruz did not ride the bus to all 25
But I think you could probably attest to this, Austin. When you're actually on the ground, it's not about every single campaign stop.
Yeah.
Anybody that's been on a road trip knows that you could be driving to Disney World, but you still are going to experience all the little towns that you drive through when you stop and get something to eat, when you stop to get gas. You're still experiencing things that you're not in meeting people that you're not even if you make it to every single stop.
It's been so valuable.
It's different.
I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've like stopped at a gas stop and somebody comes up and like knocks on the door and is like, is Austin Peterson in there? Oh, hi. You know, and we give him a yard sign and we can pass
things
out. Chat, they share their concerns with me. And it's actually really valuable. You know what? It's kind of like an emotional thing, but like I just feel like so in touch with the people because like I went to Jefferson City about a month ago when like the Greitens stuff was starting to go down, and I could, because I'd been over this all over the state, because I had spoken with all the people in Missouri, I could share my experience as a statewide candidate with our legislators at the Missouri level. Right? I could talk to them. What are you hearing, Austin, from this area of the state? What are you hearing from over here? This is what, and I could tell them. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm ready to be a true representative because I've done the shaking the hands, the kissing the babies. Like I've actually campaigned.
Right.
Whereas like Josh Hawley and Claire McCaskill, they want to talk to us. I'm out there talking with us. I mean, that's what we want.
And I can tell you from personal experience, campaign buses are huge draws. Whenever the Cruz campaign bus pulled up anywhere, people got out. They wanted to take pictures with it and just was, oh, look at that, blah, blah. So
and
that they're
Mark,
a huge
and
draw.
And Mark has been with us this morning, getting a ride in the bus. Like,
there you go.
Right?
Hey, it's a very comfortable bus. I would be riding the bus if I had
I'd rather be in a bus than a plane, to be honest with you.
And every state rep who endorses,
well.
You know, we give them a flintlock and an X-Wing, and they join the Rebel Alliance.
There you go. I love it.
Thank God. The last people didn't get that reference.
Still a few minutes to go, and I wanted to take advantage of having Mark in the room to talk about. You just mentioned former Governor Eric Greitens, Austin. Mark, in Jeff City, as a state rep, what are your initial thoughts on the new governor, Mike Parson?
I have never met such a humble, genuine man as I've met in Mike Parson.
That's great.
You know, when he delivered his speech on Monday, the protocol is to come in from the back of the room, get that 10, 15 minute standing ovation, shake hands as you're going down. But that's not Mike Parson. He came in from the back door. He went right up to the podium. He stopped our standing ovation and just started delivering a peaceful speech of unity, bringing our state together. This is a man who reached out right away, talked to our mayors. Doesn't matter what party they're from. He wants to do what's right for Missouri. I had a mayor tell me they hadn't talked to a governor in over 10 years.
Wow.
And I had a legislator tell me they hadn't talked to a governor in over 10 years.
And Representative, if Governor Greitens, former Governor Greitens, when he came into office, came into Jefferson City, doing those type of things, reaching out to legislators, reaching out to people, could his situation may have played out a little differently?
Well, here's the thing. You can be the nicest man in the world. If you have done something illegal, and I'm not saying he did, I'm just saying the law's the law and applies to everybody equally.
Austin, what are your thoughts on the new governor?
You know, it takes a lot to earn my respect. It doesn't come easy. Especially for politicians, they have to meet a higher standard for me. And in the beginning, I guess he was vice governor at the time, lieutenant governor. When I first met him, he came out and was like, "We got to get Josh Hawley elected." And I was like, "Well, that guy." You know what I mean? and I had a moment. But you know what? You know, I'm an older man now, and my hot blood is cooled. And I was just like, "All right, well, this is just what you got to deal with." And you know, I met him, and I met his wife, and his wife Teresa is a wonderful woman, very sweet and kind. I think she kind of likes me. So we had a nice rapport. And so her and I would have a back and forth. And then, you know, I started seeing how he connected with the people of Missouri and the relationships that he had. And I thought, this is a successful public servant. This is somebody who's been granted a mandate from the people to accomplish things. And he's been elected multiple times. So I gained some respect for him. And then he stopped pushing Josh Hawley about halfway through the campaign. Like I thought that they would do this the whole time. A lot of other people have done that. They've backed off from pushing him so hard.
That's because people are starting to realize this is a real race?
I think a little bit of it is. Yeah. I think it's just bad optics because their people don't support him. I haven't met a single Josh Hawley supporter, by the way, on the campaign trail who's like, "Well, President Trump tweeted, so I'm doing what President Trump says." You know, that people aren't that dumb. But I think Governor Parson now, actually, I'm looking forward to it because it's much calmer. You know, we need to have regular processes. You know, I'm tired of all the BS. Now we can focus on the primary. But I've been pleased with Governor Parson, and actually I welcome his new administration, and looking forward to have the opportunity to serve Missouri alongside him.
Very good. Mark, we're almost out of time. Before we leave, I wanted to quickly just get an update from you. Is there any news on the appointment of a new lieutenant governor and how that process is going to work? Has that been decided on yet, or is that still sort of up in the air?
There is a lot of discussion right now on whether the governor can legally just appoint a new lieutenant governor. The last time it happened, after Governor Carnahan's tragic death, that appointment came after an election occurred.
Right.
We already knew who that lieutenant governor was going to be, and he was simply sworn in a month early.
Right.
So we're going to have to stand by and see what really happens on that effect.
My personal view, I think that it should go to the legislature and should be an election.
I think having
an appointed governor and an appointed lieutenant governor just doesn't look right.
State Rep Mark Mattison, if people want to follow you, social media, anything like that, how do they do it?
You can find me on Twitter at MarkMattMo.
Very good. And Austin Peterson, all the different ways that people can learn more about you and your campaign.
Hit me up, AP4Liberty, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Help us to take over the government to leave you alone at AustinForSenate.com.
There you go. That is Senate candidate Austin Peterson and State Rep Mark Mattison. Thank you guys so much for joining us in studio today. We are going to continue with more of the Week in Report, so keep it right here. It's FM News Talk 97.1.
Now I used to say I was glad to be free. I tell myself time and time again, there's other fish in the sea.
This is the Weekend Report with Tony Colombo and Chris Harps.
Welcome back to the Weekend Report. It's FM News Talk 97.1. Can you still not hear me?
I can't hear you.
His adapter is messed up. That's why it's not fitting exactly into the.
It's the Russians.
The Russians are here.
It's the Russians.
I'll give you a new adapter.
All right, let's
the Russians are messing with Chris Arnold.
Yeah, we can do this live.
This is live.
This is not very professional.
No.
We're doing it live.
This is fine.
Throw it over.
Here, ready? There it is.
Oh.
Did you catch that?
Yeah, I did catch it. Well, on the bounce.
I meant to be on the bounce.
It was on the short hop.
I meant it to be on the bounce. It was a skip.
I think this is going to work.
Tony, I really like this is like a distracting thing, but it just made me laugh so hard when you saw Tim Elwell. When you saw Tim Elmo, what did you say to Tim? You're like,
hey, buddy.
And he's like, Tim is just like,
all right,
hi.
My bud.
Hi.
Tim and I go way back. When I was the promotions director for this radio station years ago, he, for years, was my promotions coordinator, my assistant, and my full-time right-hand man.
And you guys shared a little office together.
An office that used to be a closet.
Yeah, it's tiny.
That we
was
converted
tiny.
Into an office, yeah. And, that's one of my jokes with him. I call him my definite right-hand man.
Now look at you. You've got five shows, and you're the news director here at the station. Wow. Only in America.
It's not FM News Talk 97.1. It's Tony Colombo.
It's Tony Colombo FM.
Yeah. speaking of all the shows, the news show, Second Amendment Radio, I am super proud of that.
Yeah.
It was on a couple hours ago. It's on every Saturday at 3 o'clock.
Colombo FM.
Right here on FM News Talk 97.1. And talking to Austin a little bit off the air, gun rights, Second Amendment stuff is Austin's like number one issue. Yeah. Like that's his main go-to issue.
Well, he got kicked off of Facebook trying to raffle an AR-15.
I think
so
I'm going to have, I think we're going to talk to him on an upcoming episode of Second Amendment Radio and talk about that experience of getting kicked off Facebook and just give him a chance to talk about his that issue, because I know it is so important to him. It was really cool to have Austin in studio today. Also great to have Mark Mattison, state rep. And it's interesting, Chris, to hear that from Mark that he's getting some pushback from members of the Republican Party in Jefferson City for supporting Austin and not the Attorney General.
Well, I think the reason for that is there is a push among the Republican Party to remove some candidates off the ballot around the state who aren't Republicans or haven't been Republicans very long. So I think
Austin's got that libertarian background.
Exactly. So I think he's getting flack from those type of people that are spearheading that movement.
I just figured that it was because he didn't have the name, he didn't have the name in Missouri, and they were afraid that he would not have as good of a chance at defeating Claire. Although polls, and polls are what they are. You can't put all your stock in them. But according to at least some of the numbers that we've seen, Austin has a very good chance of beating Claire if he's the one that wins the primary and gets his name on the
If he gets the nomination. I think at this stage, Claire is so vulnerable and so weak that, Katie, you could be Claire in the fall.
Oh, thank you so much for saying that. You know, I'm running now.
Senator
I'm
Bailey.
Running. No, just kidding. It's Fitzpatrick.
It's got a good
Fitzpatrick.
Well, you all got me all switched. I thought you were staying.
I forgot about that. Are we allowed to call you Katie Bailey?
You said you were staying with your maiden name.
I'm going to stay with my maiden name, I think, on
air. Air,
But no,
all this credit, all this, you've built the brand of Katie Bailey.
Ew, no, no, gosh, no. Nobody even knows who I am. So.
That's not true. That is not true. So, what do we have? We have a couple minutes here. I wanted to get to a couple stories that we didn't get to in the Week in Review. Also, another Week in Review segment coming up in just a few minutes. We're going to get back into the crazy week of news.
Double your pleasure.
So don't go anywhere. That is coming up shortly. One of the things that happened this week, bring it to a more local level, want to get your guys' thoughts on Steve Stanger's executive order to take criminal background questions off of county government employment applications. This is something that the city of St. Louis did, I think, in 2014, and now the county has done it as well. I don't understand it. I see what he's doing. It's pandering. But some of these jobs still require a criminal background check to get that job. So aren't you just wasting everybody's time and money by removing that question from the application? But then you're still going to put them through a criminal background check, and if it comes back positive, then
you don't have the job.
Then you don't get the job.
Yeah.
And criminal background checks aren't free, so what's the point of taking it off the application?
I think this executive order is strictly optics. Steve Stanger is in a tough re-election primary battle with Mark Mantovani. We have seen in the last couple of weeks that Steve Stanger has been visiting black churches. And I think that this move of removing the checkbox on if you're a felon or not is just another move to try to garner support within the African-American community, because this bill for doing this was originally sponsored by Hazel Irby, who is a African-American St. Louis County councilwoman. And Steve Stanger was originally against this. And now a couple of months before the election, he is signing on to an African American's bill.
I don't think you need to be. It's going to do. Yeah, I agree with Tony.
Like,
I just don't,
because this was
all
an African American's bill, and he's just trying to pander to the African American vote. I'm trying to help you get jobs.
Though. It wastes money and it wastes time, because
you still have to go through the procedure.
Some of those jobs still require that background check, and now you're not going to know, and now you're going to be paying for background checks that you could have easily eliminated by having that question.
Well, all this does is you don't get your heart broken on the first round, you get it broken on the second round.
You don't have a chance.
That's worse.
It's
worse when you build up some hope, and then that's even worse.
Yeah, sorry, the background check came back bad.
Like
I
said, we are going to have more Weekend Review coming up for you in the very next segment. Also, a whole nother hour of the Weekend Report, so don't go anywhere. Our friend Skip Weber will be joining us in studio shortly. Also, we are going to talk to Jason Nelson on the phone. The big Queen tribute show is tonight at Del Mar Hall. I can't wait for this show. My co-host at that show tonight is our friend Learn from KC95. She's going to be on the phone with Jason as well. So I can't wait to talk to those guys and to Skip Weber and to break down more of the news from a crazy week in the very next segment, the next Weekend Review segment. So keep it right here on the Weekend Report. It's FM News Talk 97.1. such a hard time.
I know,
time.
Those headphones are giving
I think rust. I think it's over there. I think you're plugged in over
Wait,
there, sir.
Is it too loud, Chris, or yeah, what
well,
is it?
Well, he's adjusting the volume on the wrong knob.
Knob.
Are you all right?
It's all jacked up.
You're all jacked up.
I think it's...
Put it over here.
No, wait a minute. I was using these headphones.
Yeah.
There we go.
I'm
not as stupid as I look, sorry.
Oh, no,
yeah,
that happens
good.
To everyone.
I just had it on the wrong
It gets
headphones.
Confusing. The jacks are actually pretty confusing.
Was it working in both ears?
Yes. It's just this one. I think my headphones are
Oh,
jacked.
Technical difficulties.
Yes.
How's that?
First world. Katie in beautiful stereo. I hear you.
There we go.
Stereo. Crystal clear. Wow, stereo.
We're back, baby. We're back.
Oh, gosh.
This is the Weekend Report. It's FM News
are we
Talk
on?
97.1. We are all on,
let's
baby.
Do this.
I didn't know.
These
oh,
things on.
Wow.
I'm Tony Colombo. That is Chris Arps. That is Katie Bailey. And it's great to have this whole team back together. I mentioned earlier in the show. It's the first time the three of us have been in this studio on a Saturday together in like a month.
In a month? Yeah. Isn't that kind of bizarre?
Yeah, because Chris Freaky. Was gone, and then Katie was gone, and then I was gone last week.
And now the band is back in town.
And only one of us called in during their vacation.
I was not
Katie didn't call in.
Katie didn't call in. Chris didn't call in. Who was that guy that called in?
You know what, though?
Oh, it was me.
Tony. I will say this. I was not about to make that international
call. There you go.
There is no way that I was paying for an international call.
Yeah,
she was, I spent
she
all
was
my
an
money.
International jet setter.
And honestly, dude, every time that I was actually golfing during Saturday, during
I had
time,
to literally so. Drive to the top of a big hill just to get cell phone service. We were in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. It was crazy.
I admire your
Look
dedication.
At what
it was
Tony
a lot
does
of fun
for us, Chris. Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot
it
of fun.
It was golf or you guys.
No, it should be.
It was real. It was real easy.
I want to remind folks, we're getting ready to get back into the weekend review part two. Before we do that, I want to remind you about our website, 971talk.com/weekendreport. You can go there throughout the week. You can check out our new the YouTube video player. There was another little hiccup in the system. We couldn't upload videos for a little bit, but that's all fixed now, and I'm gonna put some videos up there this week. And so definitely check that out. Also, while you're there, you can download the podcast. So if you missed Austin Peterson, who was in studio with us for a big chunk of last hour, also joining Austin was State Rep Mark Mathiesen. Both gentlemen kind enough to join us in the studio for most of the last hour. If you missed any of that or you want to hear it again, you can go to the website and you can listen to the podcast on the site, or you can download it absolutely free, take it with you, and listen to the Weekend Report again and again. And we absolutely appreciate your support. So go check it out, 971talk.com/weekendreport. Also, don't forget to follow all of us on Twitter, at TonyColombo971 for me. Chris, you've done some changing to your Twitter.
I did. I did Chris_Arps, but yeah. I think Carps still works.
Okay. I don't know. I tried to tag you in something the other day.
Oh, yeah. It's
so
Chris
it's at Chris_Arps.
Yes.
Yeah, very good.
KBailey971.
I thought it was Fitzpatrick.
It is. Changed everything. I have to change everything okay. now.
That's going
to
be
See,
an
I had
ongoing,
to throw that in there.
It's going to be an ongoing debate.
Yes, it will be. And you know what? Before we started, I said this last week, but I don't think you know this, that Jeff Allen has given me a new nickname, and it's just Fitz.
Yeah.
There's no Katie Bailey. There's no Katie. There's no Fitzpatrick. It's just Fitz.
All right, I like
that. And I've really grown into loving it.
All right, Fitz.
Yeah.
And every time I hear that, I just have this strange desire for a root beer.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Totally. Yeah.
Good stuff.
That's a good reminder. I'm
happy
that's
root
what
beer
I remind
time.
You.
I don't think I've this is the first time we've like been in the room together, Katie, and I just want to say that your wedding was beautiful.
Thank you so much. I had a blast.
And
I had...
Did you hear what I did? My dumb ass.
No.
So me, Mark Cox, Annie Fry, Chris Arps.
Yeah.
We all shot a video at your wedding. For you, like a,
no
hey, we're
way.
All here. We love you. You look beautiful. And I freaking deleted it before
That's
I got
right.
it posted.
It's the thought. It's the thought that counts. And you know what? More than the thought that counts, you guys came to my wedding.
Excellent.
And that is so
I know, but it was
awesome.
Such a great little video, and I accidentally deleted it.
Darn.
We blame the open bar.
Yeah. Overserved. It was a good
Is that
time.
What happened, Tony?
No, I know exactly what happened. I really do know exactly what happened. I was going I was trying to clean up. I have a whole bunch of pictures and videos in my phone, and there was just too many of them. It was taking up too much space, and I was going too fast and deleting stuff and checking them and then deleting them, mass deletion. And I didn't think I checked that video, but I must have.
And Katie, you were in the background receiving.
You were in the receiving line.
Receiving
you were in
line.
Your receiving line, and you were right behind
and
us.
You and you were behind us.
I know.
It was a beautiful
really
video.
Cool. It but was really you know cool. what? I just love you both for coming, and that's all that a girl could ask for, right? Her we friends from 97.1.
We wouldn't have missed it for the world,
that's
especially
right.
you falling up the stairs on your JIT video.
I felt so much. It was great.
All right, Weekend Review Part 2. Take it away, Fitz.
So the Supreme Court upheld Ohio's efforts to purge its voting rolls this week.
Oh, yeah.
The controversial 5-4 decision says that states may kick people off the rolls. I can't talk today. May kick people off the rolls. I think you saying Fitz threw me off. If they skip a few elections and fail to respond to a notice from election officials, what do you guys think of this?
I think it was the right decision. At one time in the early 2000s, I worked at the election board, and that is the policy that the St. Louis County Election Board has. Is if you skip 2 or 3 elections, you don't vote, and they try to send you a notice saying that you haven't voted and you don't respond, they kick you off. Mm-hmm. I think having dead people on the rolls and having people that don't participate in voting or move, I think just causes the possibility of, for having people voting for them and
up,
corruption.
It opens up the opportunity for corruption.
Exactly.
And this rule, this law, it's not like... It's not like, hey, you didn't vote once, and we sent you a letter, and now we're removing you. It's like you have to miss, I think, 2 elections, then you get a letter in the mail. If you don't respond to that letter, I think you have to skip another, at least, I know it's at least 1, maybe 2 elections. I know it's at least 1. So we're talking, like, minimum a 4-6 year process.
Wow.
Before you're actually kicked off.
Wow.
It's not like something
an overnight
that's happening
thing.
Like that. They're not like going through and going, well, we haven't heard from this guy in a month.
Yeah.
Zoop, he's gone. That's not at all how it's working.
You know,
it's very reasonable, in my opinion.
You know, I told a story when I was on Mark Cox's show earlier this week. Mm-hmm. I used to work for the election board. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Dick Gephardt, everyone knew, lived in Washington, D.C., but his mailing address was here. And his mailing address was actually a condo that his mother owned, but his mother lived in a nursing home. So that was his address. And apparently they had been sending mail to that home, and it said that this person doesn't live here. They moved to Washington, D.C. And Dick Gephardt, former majority leader, was purged for a minute from the voter rolls. And the Democrats in the state got wind of it. They called the office. They were just in a fury. The election director got mad at the person that accidentally did this, because the last thing that they wanted was this to get to the media that Dick Gephardt was removed from the election rolls because the post office says, you know, forwarded his mail to D.C. So
funny.
That's my non-funny, funny anecdote.
I like it. No,
I think
good.
You said something, too, that was really whenever you were on with Mark, and that voting is a privilege. It's a privilege that we all have, and I think that that's really important. I know that, I don't know. I just think that if you're not going to be proactive in voting, then and you don't care for it, then why are we...
And again, it takes, even with this law, it takes years before you're...
And people say voting is a right, but if you're under 18, you can't vote. If you're not a citizen of the United States, you can't vote.
You have a felony.
In some states, if you're a convicted felon, you can't vote. You can't vote if you're incarcerated. So, you know, it is a right to a certain extent, but it also is a privilege.
Yeah.
And if you don't care to exercise it, election cycle after election cycle after election cycle, and they try to reach you and still can't reach you, and they remove you, then I don't see a problem with that.
Yeah, you only start to care when they remove you. That doesn't make sense to me.
Exactly.
So a report in the Washington Free Beacon this week alleged Senator Claire McCaskill using a private plane last month during her RV tour of Missouri. Her campaign initially disputed the report, but McCaskill then admitted to doing it.
Yeah.
There was a lot of talk about this story this week, but was this a really big deal or not?
Yeah, it's a good question because we talked a little bit about this earlier in the show when State Rep. Mark Mattison and Senate candidate Austin Peterson were in studio We addressed this issue and got their thoughts on it. If you want to hear that again, just go to 971talk.com/weekendreport and download the podcast, listen to it, and hear what they had to say. Is this really a big story? Because it's been reported like it is. No, it's not. It's not. Who cares? She didn't get on the plane. I understand that we had people calling in to the different shows this week saying, what does it matter as long as she's going to the stops? It's her plane. She's not breaking any laws flying the plane. I agree with all that. What bothers me, and I mentioned this a little bit earlier, what bothers me is the condescension coming from her of saying, like, of making this big production, mm-hmm. nicknaming it Big Blue. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be on Big Blue, and I'm going to be on the streets of Missouri, and I'm going to have an opportunity to go around and meet everybody.
And visit
these different communities. I don't care. If you want to take your plane to every campaign stop, doesn't bother me one bit. But just don't tell me. Don't make a big spectacle of you in this bus and then not at least ride it a little bit. Because it looks like there's no way to know for sure how much she was or wasn't on it. But we do know for sure that the plane went everywhere the bus went. So most likely,
she wasn't
on that bus at all.
I think one of the reasons why this is a bigger story than it is because Claire McCaskill has had issues with airplanes in the past not paying taxes on them or who really owns them.
Sell the damn plane. Remember that?
So that's why I think it's a much bigger issue than it is. You know, we discussed in the earlier segment when I was on Senator Cruz's campaign, he rode the bus 80% of the time, 20% of the time he rode an airplane, and it's because it just made logistically better, you know, to fly the airplane, have the bus meet him, and then take it to his next stop. So I think Claire McCaskill is one of the most vulnerable senators in this cycle, and I think we have a lot of ammunition to take Claire out. I think this, you know, gigs her a little bit, but let's focus on other things.
Yeah.
I think you and I, Chris, talked about this off air, and it's going towards what Tony said about her making a big deal about this RV tour, but was it a big deal solely because she's someone that was, she did portray it to be like, you know, I'm a regular old girl and, you know, I'm getting my hands dirty with the American people and working with the Missouri people. And I'm not going to spend all of this crazy money on something like a plane. Is that what made it a big deal?
To me, I think that's the only thing that made it a big deal.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that made it a big deal. If you, even if you say, I'm going to go on a bus tour, but you don't really hype it that much.
Right.
You just say, the bus, we're going to go around and we're going to visit all these places. And then you end up going a lot of places on your plane. Even then, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, because
there was so much more involved of like, and then the campaign then the campaign comes out when the Washington Free Beacon first was reporting that she was on her plane, and the campaign said, "Oh no, she was on the bus the whole time."
Yeah, exactly.
And then she comes back and is like, "No, I wasn't," but who cares? Not a big deal. It's the act isn't a big. It's like everything else. It's always the cover up. Mm-hmm. It's always the excuse that makes you look worse or gets you in more trouble. I don't care if you're not riding the bus, but just don't tell me that you're riding the bus.
But this is why I say in the long run it may not matter all that much because the bus tour was designed for Claire to go into rural counties, rural areas to try to relate to those folks and get their vote. What happened yesterday with President Trump supposedly putting tariffs on Chinese goods, which include soybeans and corn, which are big crops here in Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those voters are Trump voters, but they also are farmers, and they need export stuff over to China. So that may be an opening for her to come in and say, hey, I know you support Trump and blah, 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 but he's hurting you, your bottom line, with these tariffs.
We don't have time to do a whole nother segment, but I did want to ask you, Chris Arps, something that I asked State Rep Mark Mattison and Austin Peterson when they were in here. Your initial thoughts on the new governor. How do you feel after a couple weeks about Mike Parson?
Well, and Katie and I were talking about this a little bit about the break. I think Governor Parson is an honest man. I think he's an honorable man. I think if you're looking for a reformer type person that's going to come in and clean in the swamp, I don't think he's that type. I think he's a caretaker governor, And I think you're going to see the Missouri ship of state sail smoothly until we have another election. I think unless Parson really distinguished himself, I think you could see a primary for the governorship in 2020.
Yeah. Mm. There you go. And then the situation with the lieutenant governor, I think you and I are on the same page. Yeah. That I'd like to see that position filled with an election, not an appointment.
You have to. I mean, with the governor being replaced and then you appoint lieutenant governor, I think having two heads of the state government not being elected by the people.
Right. Great point.
Can be a problem.
Yep. I like elections because it gives us more to talk about.
Exactly.
Not that we already don't have.
On FM News Talk 97.1. Wow. What do we need to.
All right, keep it right here. Got to take a quick break. When we get back, our friend Skip Weber joins us, as he does at this time every week. And we will also be talking to Jason Nelson and our friend Learn from KC95. The Big Queen Show is tonight at Del Mar Hall. I can't wait. Skip's a big sponsor of that show as well, so we'll talk to him and Jason and Learn all on the other side of this break. Keep it right here. It's FM News Talk 97.1.
If you lose me, you lose everything.
This is the Weekend Report with Tony Colombo and Chris Arps.
Welcome back to the Weekend Report. It's FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo, Chris Arps, and Katie Bailey with you. And we thank you again for supporting the show and joining us for another episode of the Weekend Report every Saturday right here on FM News Talk 97.1, 5 p.m., 5 to 7, two big hours. We try to get you caught up on everything from the week that just happened. And this week especially, we have guests every week, but this week has been absolutely packed. We've had a packed house. We had Austin Peterson, Senate candidate Austin Peterson, in studio earlier in the show. He was also joined by Mark Mathiesen, who is a state representative for Missouri. Those guys were with us for almost the entire first hour of the show. Really good stuff. Mark was talking about Jefferson City, the way things are now with the brand new governor. Austin, of course, was talking about this big upcoming election as he is trying to win the GOP nomination and then hopefully take down Claire McCaskill for that seat. And if you missed any of it or you want to hear it again, don't forget to go to 971talk.com. You can go to the Weekend Report page. You can go to the podcast page on our website and find the Weekend Report podcast and listen to it for free, download it for free, take it with you everywhere you go. Also, don't forget about 971talk.com/Weekend Report on our webpage there. We have our YouTube video player back up and running, and we'll be putting video content up there for you throughout the week. So we had Austin and Mark with us for most of the first hour, and now we are joined in studio by our friend Skip Weber, one of the great sponsors of the show. Skip, great to see you, my friend. How are you?
Good to see you.
Yeah.
How's everybody's weekend going?
So far, so good.
Yeah. Can't complain.
Hot. It's hot.
Yep. We almost had some technical difficulties with the volume thing on there.
Are you having issues?
No, he's fine. The volume on these things are like 30 times the volume. So I almost blew up my eardrum one time.
And it's also very sensitive. So you can go, I can go just a little bit and go to nothing.
Oh, yeah.
And just a little bit over here. It's way too loud. Yeah, that's okay, though.
Joining Skip this week here in studio is Kevin Bradford.
One of my favorite employees, Kevin Bradford here.
Yeah, do the introduction.
So he is our service director at our Chevy store in Granite City, and we're thrilled to have him there. He's got a lot of experience in this business, and he has done wonders in making our guys in Granite City just so efficient. It's really funny how people don't understand how service departments run. I've got phenomenal techs everywhere. Mm-hmm. But if just small processes and small things that you do can make them, even if they feel like they're working hard, can make them inefficient.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin comes in and redoes some things, and everybody thinks, oh, my gosh, these guys are going to be mad because he seems to be slave driving. But instead, now they all love him because now their productivity is shot through the roof, and they all look great. And it's just simple things. And on top of that, Kevin's got some stuff going up north in Granite City that's really exciting, and I'll let him talk about that.
Yeah, Kevin, thanks for joining us today. How are you?
Thank you very much. I appreciate being here.
Yeah.
I just wanted to tell you about a couple things that are going on over in Granite City. We are actually opening a commercial truck center. Going to be with our Chevrolet store and our Ford store. So we're going to be able to service up medium-duty vehicles for Ford and Chevrolet vehicles. That should be really up and running fully in August 1st.
Mm-hmm. So, but it's already started.
We're already starting.
It's trickling in. We're getting some big lifts that can handle bus type things.
That's correct. And the new equipment should be installed next week.
Nice.
So we're taking more vehicles in. And I mean, the location is perfect. It's great for all of our vendors. It's a fenced area, so it's secure in the evening. It's right at Pontoon Road and Route 3, approximately 7 miles from downtown St. Louis.
I know exactly where that is.
And we have an experienced staff. I have a gentleman, my assistant manager, who's going to actually head up the department. His name is Kent Johnson. He has years of experience in the car business, and it's all about taking care of our customers.
Yeah, so if a business owner is out there and listening, and they need trucks, and they need a fleet, or they need commercial vehicles, what's the best way to get information or talk to you? How do they get a hold of you?
The best way to get a hold of us on our commercial fleet sales department for Ford and Chevrolet, too, we actually have two very experienced guys that have been with the company approximately maybe a month.
A month, yeah. Just 1 month. Yeah.
One of them's named Andy Eldridge and Ken Wren that started with us. A line to get a hold of either one of those gentlemen, if anybody's interested in those vehicles, is 618-452-5400.
Very good.
If anyone needs to contact us at all in the service department, they can call us at 618-451-7913. Very experienced staff in the service drive. My average person's been there about 13 years.
Yeah.
So if anyone needs to call, Rick File, Anna Schmidt, Justin Brown, it's our crew over there. They'll be glad to take care of you.
Awesome stuff. Chris, go ahead.
Go ahead.
The neat thing about what we're doing is lots of dealers handle commercial accounts. Lots of dealers have a lift or two that can handle an ambulance or a big dump truck or something like that. But what happens is they have to include that in their space where everybody else is. So next thing you know, you have a landscaping company that has six trucks and two of those trucks need some work on it. Well, they got to wait behind the Malibu and Impala oil changes that are going on.
Exactly, right.
Stuff. So here we have a building dedicated only to
commercial. That's cool.
And that's what the thing, if you have something, no matter what, no matter where you bought your vehicle, we can take care of your truck. And some of this stuff is stuff we've never sold before. We're just starting to sell it. But we don't care. We'll work on it because we're going to be able to give you all the time. You'll come in. No one's going to be in front of you. We'll get you in and out. I promise you, by the time this thing is running well, that it'll be faster than any other place has ever done it.
Skip, would you say the surging economy is fueling the expansion for your commercial truck business?
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is the perfect location for this because Granite City is finally rebounding. You know, the people of Granite City, we've been dealing with Granite City since 1993. Love dealing with that city up there. The customers are great. The city's great. Great partnership. But unfortunately, with the closing of the steel mills, that hurt the city economically. Mm-hmm. It hurt our customer base. We had to get customer base from a little bit further away. Mm-hmm. Not all. Certainly not every single person in Granite City lost their job. A lot of steel workers found other jobs, and a lot of other people don't work in the steel industry in Granite also. But it was a big part of the city. And so with the steel mills coming, firing their furnaces back up.
Blast furnace back on.
Announcing the rehiring of jobs, you know, steelworker jobs,
sure.
Those are good paying jobs.
And most of those jobs, as you just mentioned, are not new jobs. They're giving back the jobs to the people that lost them. Almost, it's something like
That's
450 of 480 jobs are giving back the jobs to the people that lost them. They're not brand new positions, which is amazing.
It's just a phenomenal thing because now, you know, the city is going to see this resurgence, and it's a perfect time for us. We bought the property a year and a half ago. It already had part of that service department on there. We're revamping the rest of it. It's a and the city and myself are partnering on this. It's a wonderful opportunity for our organization, but it's really a good opportunity for our customers.
And so you saw the surging economy a year and a half ago. Can you pick my stocks for me to do this project?
Well, let me tell you. I didn't see the steel mills coming. I didn't see the steel mills coming back.
Right. Chevrolet.
But with our team up there, we had surging sales, and so we needed someplace to expand. Right. We were out of room. So I didn't foresee the steel mills coming back on. But you know,
Kevin, I love to talk about the service departments at Weber Chevrolet. And we had I live closest to the Creve Coeur Weber Chevrolet, and so I work with Sean Chambliss up there, and I am just blown away every time I bring in my vehicle or my wife's vehicle, at how good the service people are. How when you pull in, it looks like, oh my gosh, this place is so busy. There's so many cars here. It's gonna take forever, but everything just runs so smoothly. You're in and out in no time, and you have somebody that you trust. It's my opinion that the service department is just as key to selling vehicles, especially that second and third vehicle. Once a person experiences a service department like you guys provide out at Weber, I truly believe that that is one of the biggest hooks to bring that a person back to Weber Chevrolet when they want to purchase another vehicle or whatever, because they know that it's going to be taken care of. How do you feel about
true.
That?
Yeah. I mean, it's always been the philosophy that the sales department sells the first one, and the service department thereafter sells the
rest.
Second.
That's a good point.
Because it makes the customers feel, when they come in, it's you want to make sure that they're number one. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure they're taken care of. And it's all about the people. It's every business, especially a retail business, is all about everybody working together, and everything's a team. We build all of our operations around teamwork. The left hand needs to know what the right hand's doing. Mm-hmm. It's all part of the business, and it's actually relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Customer wants to come in and feel comfortable with somebody they're talking to, somebody that they're used to dealing with. It's it's all about
trust.
That's how you build a business.
I tell you, because we, like I said, we have a Weber Chevrolet vehicle, and my wife can tell you that one of the tasks in life that I hate more than anything is taking the car to the dealer or the shop to get it fixed, because you feel like you're going to be there all day and people are going to ignore you, and it's just a painful experience. Mm-hmm. But I don't mind taking the car up to Weber because, first of all, it's efficient. They've got a nice, clean waiting room. They've got Aunt B there making cookies for you. And I know I'm not going to be there all day.
Yeah. And if you do have to leave your vehicle, they'll give you the rental car.
And it's literally, before I know it, they're like calling my name, your vehicle's ready. Yeah. And I'm like, man, already? Cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And Kevin, that idea of trust, I couldn't agree with you more on that, because, like I said, I know my guy's name, Sean Chambliss, at the Creve Coeur store. I have his number. I call him directly when I need something done or if I'm having a problem. And I know Sean. I've built a relationship with him. I trust him. And for people that don't know, you know, that don't know how to fix a car, it's a very vulnerable, and you're always wondering, is this person going to be taking advantage of me? Are they going to overcharge me for something? Because I don't know. So that word trust, establishing that trust and that relationship with that person is so key, and you guys just knock that out of the park at Weber Chevrolet.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yeah,
and a lot of things that go along with trust is the word transparency. You know, the thing about it is all three of my service managers, and Kevin can attest to this, are available to talk to any customer. Mm-hmm. And they also have their offices located where they see if there's somebody that's maybe lingering a little bit too long at a service writer desk, that may or may not be a problem. There may be some confusion. They maybe have some questions about their bill. And they get out there right away and they can answer about it. And they're happy to sit there and talk. And that's why you know, our latest commercial that I just run talks about Weber Chevrolet being the highest rated Chevy dealer. It's not even close. If you look at the number of positive reviews from January 1, I didn't go back further in January 1 because we're 6 months into the year now, but we're over 600 positive reviews on Dealer Raider, and the next highest dealer is under 100. It was still in the 90s.
Wow.
And that's positive, and we have very, very, very few negative, but These guys, if it's, if the if a negative or a 4 out of 5 star or a 3 out of 5 star review comes in on the service department, they're calling them. My service managers call them, and they'll get them back in. Oh my gosh, we left that lug nut off. We didn't even know it. Come on back in.
Yeah.
We'll make it right somehow. Give you some gas or take that off your bill or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's because they're focused on the customer first.
Yeah. Kevin, let me ask you this: if you're like me, a family like me, I have a Weber Chevrolet Silverado truck, but my wife drives a Kia. Mm-hmm. When my wife's car needs work, can people bring a car that they didn't get from Weber Chevrolet into your service department?
Absolutely. We work on all make and models. I mean, you have to look at it from a perspective is when you have cars traded in. We work on all of those vehicles. So if you need anything, if you need an oil change, if you have a water pump issue, a mechanical issue, we can take care of it.
All right.
Yeah. When you trade that Kia in the near future, we're gonna have to recondition that anyway.
Trust me.
So we might as well start learning about it now.
Skip, not only is my wife ready to upgrade, and she's got her eyes on Equinox or even Traverse maybe. My daughter turns 15 in what, 2 weeks? And so we're right around the corner from needing a vehicle for the 16-year-old. So
and we build relationships.
And
also,
I need a new truck. So that's three vehicles now.
when you recondition a vehicle, what exactly are you doing when a vehicle is reconditioned?
What you do is you inspect all the parts of the vehicle. Mm-hmm. You check the mileage, do the oil change, tire rotation, whatever parts it actually needs. Mm-hmm.
We have some standard of the brakes have got to be at least this thick, the tires have got to be at least this thick. And, you know, sometimes there might be something that's, this little molding is loose, and we may not replace that because the vehicle's 10 years old.
Right. Uh-huh.
But if it's under warranty, everything gets done.
Anything that's a certified vehicle,
yeah.
And a lot of our vehicles we put in come with certification, and they actually come with additional oil changes, and they get it extends the warranty on a pre-owned vehicle. Those vehicles, scratches and dings, there's nothing. The vehicle has to be almost showroom new to pass a certification.
That is Kevin Bradford. He's the service director out at the Weber Chevrolet in Granite City. Skip Weber here as well, of course, and Kevin and Skip both going to stick around, so don't go anywhere. We're going to talk about the big Queen show happening tonight. I can't wait for that show. Don't go anywhere. We're going to talk to Jason Nelson and learn from KSHE 95 coming up next on The Weekend Report. It's FM News Talk 97.1. Welcome back to The Weekend Report. It's FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo, Chris Arps, and Katie Bailey with you every Saturday from 5 to 7. The Weekend Report, thank you so much for your support. Don't forget to go to our website, 971talk.com/weekendreport. Check out the YouTube video player. We put videos up there throughout the week for you, so you can check out fresh content from The Weekend Report all week long. Also, on our website, 971talk.com, on the podcast page, you can find The Weekend Report podcast, and you can download it absolutely free. If you missed anything from today's show, Austin Peterson, State Rep Mark Mathiesen, our discussion with Skip Weber, of course, and Kevin Bradford from the Weber Granite Store. All of that will be available for you absolutely free on the website, on our podcast. Download that anytime you'd like. Right now, we continue our cavalcade of all-star guests. And I have been talking about it all show long. I am so excited for tonight at Del Mar Hall. It is Somebody to Love, the Queen tribute show. And we have Jason Nelson, the brains behind the entire operation, Freddie Mercury himself. Jason, thanks for joining us again on the show. I'm stoked for tonight. Go ahead.
Weber Chevrolet customer, Jason Nelson.
Yeah.
Don't forget that part about it.
And I also won't forget now, and I won't forget on stage tonight, Skip.
We'll see.
Somebody to Love, the Queen Tribute Show, brought to you by Weber Chevrolet.
We'll see. Tony has a habit of totally ignoring the sponsors once he starts.
I did one stage announcement. I forgot to mention Weber Chevrolet, and I can't live it down. So Jason is joining us, and also somebody who will be co-hosting tonight's show with me out there at Del Mar Hall, our good friend Learn from KC95. Learn, what's up?
Hey guys, happy to be here. Miss you guys.
Yeah, miss you guys too. Yeah, it's still been growing pains for all of us. It's weird to not be right down the hall from KC95 anymore. But I hope everybody over there is doing great.
Yeah, we are. Thank you.
So, Learn, I'm so glad you're co-hosting. Just keep Tony in line. Just remember, you know how.
Just remember to say Weber Chevrolet, exactly. Otherwise we're all going to get in trouble.
He's going
to
write it on the back of his hand so he doesn't forget.
So
I won't forget because
I know. I trust you so much. You're good.
So, Jason, it's not too late for folks to get their tickets and come out there tonight. At this point, it's probably better to just go out. Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think at this point it's probably better to just go out and get your tickets at the door than try to mess with getting them online or anything. But I could be wrong. You tell people what they should do to make sure they don't miss the show tonight.
Calling all Queen fans and Bruce Springsteen fans.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Our opening group, Saints in the City, a tribute to Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band, starts at 8:30 p.m. So come on down. We're at the pageant next to, or Delmar Hall next to the pageant in University City. So we want to see everybody there, please.
So and Learn, of course, KC95, obviously Queen, classic rock, big rock show, going to be a whole lot of fun. I know, I believe this is your first experience with the Queen show, but not your first experience, of course, with a show at Del Mar Hall. And just what an awesome venue and a great place to see some rock and roll tonight, Del Mar Hall. Talk about it.
Oh my gosh. Well, first of all, I'm really excited. I have a ton of friends coming out tonight. Because we all love Queen so much. I love Bruce Springsteen, too, so Saints in the City is going to be really neat, too. But, yeah, Del Mar Hall is, like, the epitome venue, in my opinion, for tribute bands in St. Louis on all different levels.
Yes.
And so I feel like tonight is just going to be one big dance party, honestly, and sing-along party. That's all I'm thinking about.
Agreed.
I can't wait. You know, Del Mar Hall, actually, for me, has been, like, the place, the venue that has replaced Mississippi Nights. I was heartbroken. Just shattered whenever they closed Mississippi Nights, because I loved that place. And I spent so many nights there growing up and saw so many shows there, and I just loved that bar. And now we have Del Mar Hall, and I think you combine the amazing stage show of the Queen tribute, of Somebody to Love, the show that Jason puts on, and then you put it in a venue like Del Mar Hall, and it's perfect for everything. Skip, you've been there.
Listen,
talk about the show.
No, here, let me tell you my history with this. Okay, so Tony, on the Dave Glover show, I met, you know, began friendship with Tony, and himself and Mark Close talked me, not too arm twisting, but talked me into sponsoring this event, I think, about 2 years ago, and I said, okay, I'll give it a try. I'm thinking, I know people out there are doing the same thing I'm doing. They mild eye roll, tribute band, what the heck? So I went to it, and it absolutely floored me, blew me away, and we have sponsored everyone since, happily and gladly, because it's not just like, here, they sound a lot like Queen. Jason does a great job impersonating Freddie Mercury, not as in a Rich Little impersonation, but just in a tribute type.
Yeah,
the musicians are great, but they make it a whole show. It's not like going to see some friend of yours in the band that knows how to play Bohemian Rhapsody and Another One Bites the Dust. This is a show that is a tribute to the great. One of the greatest performers that ever lived, and some great music, and it's very, very well done, and we've been happy to sponsor. And I'm as soon as I turn this microphone off, I'm getting in my car. I've got 40 people coming for our section, and so we're heading right there. So
Jason,
can't wait.
Talk about the show a little bit, like Skip is talking about. You guys go all out. It's not three or four guys on stage, like Skip said, just doing your basic tribute, concert tribute show. You guys bring the whole presentation.
Absolutely, to show as much reverence for the music as we can. We built a lighting and video and chorus instrumentation
costuming.
Around.
Costuming.
Yeah, the costuming as well. It's a whole experience. We're not necessarily putting on a theatrical like Broadway show, but this is a rock show that really looks and feels like you would at a Queen show. And that was purposeful. We bring the modern technology to the forefront that Queen did not have the ability to present when they were with Freddie, but we keep it as legit as we can.
Awesome.
We have video that will blow your mind. And we pull in, again, thank you so much for Weber Chevrolet sponsorship. We could not do this without your support. And working with Tony and Learn, you guys are great. So
thanks.
The whole community is, we try to bring the best show that we can.
That's awesome. So. That is awesome. And Learn, I can't wait to share the stage with you tonight and enjoy this great show with you tonight. KC95 will always be our sister station, in my opinion. So
I agree.
Well, you know, my husband works with you, Tony.
Yeah, Learn, I was going to ask how that is. I mean, it's almost like the Trump border where the right. the people are getting separated and gone
friends.
The other directions. I mean,
hey,
you know.
I will tell you, it's not that bad. Trust me. That's terrible. That level is awful. My level with Tim not working together, it's been a nice, refreshing thing. So, yeah.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Learn, we will see you tonight. Tell people real quick your social media and all that so people can follow you and make sure you tune in to that morning rock show.
Oh, yeah, please. Twitter is the easiest, the most interactive, so just follow me on Twitter, at Learn Versus Radio.
All right. And, Jason, one more time, how do they get tickets for tonight so they don't miss the show?
Come on down to Del Mar Hall. Doors are at 7 p.m., shows at 8:30 p.m. with Saints in the City.
Can't wait. We'll see you guys tonight, Del Mar Hall. I hope everybody makes it out there, and we'll have a blast tonight. Thanks, guys.
All right, see you tonight.
Thank you.
All right, see you later.
All right, bye, guys.
Yep. Yeah, it's really super cool, Skip, that you have been that you've become a part of the show, and it really is. What
a
great
time.
We
have a lot of fun.
I can't wait to get out there tonight. So we are just about out of time here on this episode of The Weekend Report on FM News Talk 97.1. Don't forget to join us every Saturday from 5 to 7. Big thanks to Austin Peterson and State Rep Mark Mathiesen for joining us earlier in the show. Kevin Bradford, Service Director of Weber Granite. One more time, give that telephone number if people are wanting to get that their commercial vehicles or just learn more about the service department out there.
For commercial, 618-542-5400, and for the service department, 618-451-7913.
Awesome stuff. And Skip, thanks so much for your support
Another
of this show,
one.
And I'll
Thank
see you,
you
tonight. Can't
All
wait.
Right. Can't wait.
All right, time to go. We will see you guys next Saturday from 5 to 7 on The Weekend Report. For my partner, Chris Arps,
yes.
and Katie Bailey, I'm Tony Colombo. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and I hope to see you tonight at Del Mar Hall for The Queen Show. Have a great rest of your weekend.
My pretty little angel, my pretty.
Get more at 971talk.com.